There's an adventure in every cup waiting for you at Expedition Roasters. Expedition Roasters is the artisanal roaster of specialty Disney and pop culture themed coffees. So why not brew some magic at your home? Some of our coffees include Skipper's Brew, Ghoulish Delight, Enchanted Tiki Coconut, Redhead Rum, and many other unique roasts. Our coffees are certified gluten and allergen free and feature unique custom artwork by guest artists. So start your adventure today by visiting us online at expeditionroasters.com. And Disney Nerds podcast listeners, be sure to take advantage of this exclusive offer and save 20% on your first purchase with code DISNERD20. Brew your happy place. That's expeditionroasters.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 292 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on this week's show, it's all about those summer tips. Because now that Galaxy's Edge is open, we gotta stay cool. With us tonight, we have Morgan. Hey, Morgan, how's it going?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, good. And along with her, we have Sam. Hey, Sam.
What's going on, Ed? Galaxy's Edge, Disneyland? I don't think Disneyland Park will ever be the same.
Oh, no way. No way.
Can't wait to get there.
Everybody's been watching the videos and the live streams that have people have been throwing out there for us to watch of Galaxy's Edge, and we're all amazed. We're going to definitely talk about that, and we're also going to get into the topic of the night, which is going to be basically how to stay cool during the summertime, and actually even why you should think about going during the summertime months into going to Walt Disney World or to Disneyland. But before we get to that, we have Morgan with us tonight. And Morgan, I tell you what, the blog has been going great. We've been seeing a lot of new things out there. What's the latest?
Well, the latest has definitely been Galaxy's Edge. You can't get out of the news with Disney with Galaxy's Edge. But we're going to steer away just for a second from Galaxy's Edge, because we had a little Christmas announcements here. We got a couple of the narrators for the Candlelight Processional for Epcot announced. And it's some of the favorites that are coming back. We've got Whoopi Goldberg at... She's coming December 6th and 7th. We got Pat Sajak, December 16th and 18th. Stephen Curtis Chapman, the 22nd and the 24th. Edward James Olmos, the 25th and the 26th. So we're starting to... Disney's already given us Christmas on the brain.
So cool. Sam, go ahead and explain what that means. What do they do?
So basically the speakers are... who kind of tell the story... as the processional's happening, the choir, the band, the orchestra, it's just amazing. And, to hear those celebrity voices in between, it's such a great experience. You got to love the Candlelight Processional. Now I need to go back at Christmas time. We're supposed to be talking about summer.
But you know what it does? It gives us an opportunity to decide if we're going in the Christmas time. Maybe we could pick out a specific week now based on the person we want to see at the Candlelight Processional.
You know what? That's a great point, because I think a lot of people do that. They go to see different people, or they have that one favorite that they want to go see. I know Neil Patrick Harris and Whoopi Goldberg, and those people tend to get huge crowds when they're down there, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Yeah, I mean, last year, even Neil Patrick Harris, they live streamed his.
That's right.
For the first time ever. So now, granted, that's probably not going to happen every single year, but that just gives you a taste of why you need to try to check it out and who you should check out when you go see it.
I wonder who they'll do this year, because I got to think they're going to do it again. Can't wait to find out.
That's right.
What else did we find out this week?
Well, if that wasn't enough Christmas, we also got told that for Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, there's going to be new holiday fireworks. And Mickey's Main Squeeze, Minnie, is going to be the host of the fireworks show.
Oh, very cool. So I guess we're going to hear her name, or, I'm sorry, hear her voice over like the loudspeakers and announcing the show or introducing it or something?
I mean, that's how they're describing it. They are describing it that she's hosting it. It's going to be called Minnie's Wonderful Christmas Time Fireworks.
Wow.
And it's going to have, they say it's going to have all the beloved holiday music that we all know and love, like Joy to the World, Deck the Halls, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. So I'm thinking that Minnie's going to help us along our little fireworks journey to get us even more into the holiday spirit than you normally get at the Christmas party.
This, to me, has been a couple of years in coming, right? Because this is essentially replacing the Wishes themes that they've had for Halloween and for Christmas, finally right. Replacing those, right? The old Hollow Wishes and the Holiday Wish.
Hollow Wishes.
Holiday Wish.
No, wait. That's
Hollow Wishes was Halloween, and it was a Holiday Wish was the Christmas one, I think. But regardless, yep. We're now moved away from the music and the fireworks, which is what we've been used to, and now we're coming into that age of the new projection shows. And you really have to think that now with Minnie Mouse, we're combining a stage show with Minnie, with the classic Christmas music, with the castle projections and the fireworks, just takes it to a next level. And as much as you may have liked Wishes, I love Happily Ever After, and I think this is a great addition to the Christmas party. And another reason why Christmas party, Halloween parties are worth that little bit of extra money every once in a while.
Exactly. I think if you are a fan of going to the parks during the holidays, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party has to be on your list.
Oh, I know. It's a definitely must try once, you know, at least to see it and to experience it. Don't they still have the fireworks and the parade on the last couple nights before Christmas in the parks, normal days, though?
Christmas week, there's no party. So Christmas week, you can see all those things. And that's the one part that comes up, because the Christmas week we know is the busiest week, right?
Sure.
But you can see the Christmas parade and the Christmas fireworks and experience that without going to a party, which you can't do for Halloween, because Halloween, you can only do the trick-or-treating and the Halloween parade during that party. So it's I like to do them. I don't do it every year by any means. I don't think enough changes every year, but every few years, it's nice to go back to it and check it out.
Right. And real one quick tip just before we get away from it, and I apologize if I said it before, but all these holiday fireworks are really good to watch from the resorts around the Magic Kingdom Lagoon. From the Polynesian or from the Contemporary, you can watch, even from the Transportation Center, you can watch the fireworks of the Magic Kingdom and be really amazed at what you see. So there's always ways to see these fireworks.
Exactly. And I've actually seen the Halloween Hallowishes, which, you know, it's not going to be Hallowishes anymore. That little bridge between the Contemporary and Bay Lake. Mm. I've gone there, set up to do photos, and they piped in the music. So mm-hmm. Got to hear everything.
Perfect.
That's pretty cool.
Awesome. Okay, guys, so I tell you what, that's over at the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com blog, which is an awesome place to check out the new information coming from the parks and to read other articles about all things Disney. Okay, so now Star Wars. This was an incredible week in that they opened up the Galaxy's Edge Star Wars land in California.
Oh, that was this week? I would have known.
Yeah,
I lost a lot of work this week. Sorry, Mark, if you're listening tonight. I could not help myself. And thankfully, there were so many people live streaming the event that we got an incredible taste of exactly what Galaxy's Edge is all about.
Yeah, I don't think any of us got much work done while we were trying to check out what was going on for Galaxy's Edge Disneyland. And I personally can't help but wonder how much of this for the dedication of Disneyland are they going to do at Disney World, too?
It's a great question.
I'm pretty sure they're going to do that. You're talking about the presentation with Iger and everybody else?
Yeah, I want to know, is Harrison Ford coming to Florida? Is Mark Hamill coming to Florida? You know, this is what inquiring minds want to know.
How about this? We're going to have the new cast coming to Florida.
I was just going to mention that, Ed, because when you look at it and the timing and how Galaxy's Edge all laid out, You got Luke Skywalker and Han Solo. And those guys aren't in Galaxy's Edge. They're not in the right time frame. It's out of story. So to me, that was a little odd. And it was just a little, hey, come to California and you guys can ride this thing first.
Sure. It was Hollywood because they were close by.
Exactly. One of the coolest – there were two things that I really took off of watching that Disney Line stream. One was George Lucas saying, Bob Iger, you guys did a great job because this could have gone really bad. I just thought it was hilarious to hear George Lucas say that. He goes, but it could have. And then he goes on to say that, Smuggler's Run, you know, the drive the Millennium Falcon, do all this great stuff. It's Star Tours on steroids. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't quite think that's how the Imagineers wanted it described, but they'll go with it because it's George Lucas, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah, definitely. That's an endorsement right there anyway for most Star Wars fans. Are you kidding?
Oh, absolutely, it is, and that's what it is, and you know, you guys know that I'm well into the story elements of what Galaxy's Edge is and where it puts you and the characters that are new there and how it ties into all of the Star Wars franchise, and there's so much to talk about. We can do a show just on the history of and you know what you're stepping into when you step into Batuu.
You're being very humble, Sam. Sam produced an incredible video explaining just that, the history of Galaxy's Edge and all the different pieces of the Star Wars stories, the lore, the movies, the books that have actually come together and are being presented in Galaxy's Edge. What was so cool this past weekend, we were able to see a lot of those Easter eggs we've been hearing about and talking about, and Sam's got this incredible video that you will see so many of these things in there, and it explains it to you, because we're not always all aware of these characters. Sam, where can they find that?
It's at Sam's Disney Diary YouTube. I'll put a link in the show notes. And thank you very much, Ed. I appreciate that. And one of the reasons I did that is I can see, you know, if I put myself kind of in somebody else's shoes and I have kids and they want to go to Disney World and I go there every few years and I walk into Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and I'm, you know, the dad. And the first thing I go is, where's Darth Vader?
Right.
Oops. And I'm disappointed because Darth Vader's not here. But that's you're completely missing what Galaxy's Edge is. It's not in story, although we'll get back to that, because the story basically is now in the Star Wars universe. It's sometime between The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker. That's when we're arriving. And there's all this history that happened on Batuu and all these things that happened in the past. And you can see remnants of it. And that's what just makes it so cool in my eyes.
Oh,
and the more you know about that, the cooler it'll be.
I know. I totally agree. And it's a worthwhile homework project to definitely get yourself all caught up on these stories behind it. Because you're right. You're going to walk past things and you'll know so much more. Because getting into Galaxy's Edge is going to be so tough. And while you're there, you're going to want to be able to absorb as much as you can.
Yeah. And the one thing I pointed out in that video, and I'm sure that you caught it, the interesting thing with timelines is at Celebration when they ran the trailer for Rise of Skywalker, and Emperor Palpatine comes out and laughs and says, "Roll it again." So that puts him in the timeline. So this story can change, and in a few months in December, it may be natural that the Emperor's in Batuu in the current time frame. And does that make Anakin not that far behind him? That blows my mind. But that's how cool the story group is and the things that they've set up.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Now, as far as today's show, we're going to talk about some of our observations from the weekend. We're going to have a much more in-depth show, quote-unquote shows, about this as we get more and more in-depth. Lisa's going to be out in California in a couple weeks experiencing it firsthand, so we're going to take a lot of her information and bring that to you, too. So I tell you what, in the next 2 weeks, you've got time. Send us an email. Let us know the things you want to find out about Galaxy's Edge, California. Lisa will try to look into it. So real quick, my first observation was that walking around in the outskirts of Galaxy's Edge leading up to it and on the other side of it leading toward, I think it was, where's Pirates? New Orleans Square. They have done the Pandora thing where there are trees and foliage everywhere, so you can't tell anything outside of where you are, even on the outskirts of the land itself. That's where they had the blue X-Wing was out there. And I was just pretty amazed at that aspect just to begin with. they definitely cut the land off from the rest of the park.
Yeah, and I think you need to, because you're walking into an immersive experience. And you know, you compare it to Pandora, and I think they learned a lot from Pandora, and it was almost a test to some extent. Mm-hmm. In fact, some of the things that I want to see if it does or doesn't happen, I can remember the first time I went into Pandora for the Passover previews, and there were no signs to where things were. It was kind of like, okay, is that the Flight of Passage ride? Is that where the river ride is? Where's the restaurant? Where's the restrooms? Where is this stuff? And 6 months later, there were some signs that started to show up that said, you know, the river ride's to your left and Flight of Passage is to your right. I don't know if that will happen eventually in Galaxy's Edge, but right now when you walk in, nothing's labeled. You're just walking into a village and you need to know where things are. And that's kind of cool. We'll see if it lasts.
Right. Well, they've got the plenty of cast members, I'm sure, staffed in there to point and help people along.
That was cool. I think the other thing to keep in mind, too, is that we've only seen one of the two attractions so far. It's only half open, I guess is what I'm saying. There's an entire new forest that has not yet been revealed where the Resistance has created a camp, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That'd be cool.
And I tell you, the ride itself was, to me, 25% of that whole experience of watching everything going on. Walking through the marketplace, every time you walked through and you looked at the buildings and such, you saw the tall circular tower with the yellow stripe right out of those plans, and it was really there against the blue sky, and it was real. It just looked really incredible. Can't wait.
Yeah, there were a couple of little Easter eggs, and I'm sure somebody had mentioned them, but Docking Bay 7, and you see the big containers up on top, and it's 77, 80, and 83. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Well, that's the whole point about it. Did you see the water fountains?
I did not. Tell me about the water fountains.
Okay, well, there's a set of water fountains that have this really cool little window above it, and what happens is, periodically, don't know what the routine is and how, but the creature from the garbage compactor from number four will make an appearance as you're giving yourself a drink of water. So I'm hoping to see a lot more of that, too. That'll be so nice.
How much of the app did you see? Did you see much Disney Parks? I only saw some pictures of it. I didn't see it actually being used.
No, I didn't. I saw somebody trying to use it online a couple times and not being able to. And that was another thing I saw, where the lines seemed to be more for the items as opposed to the ride. The lightsaber line was pretty huge.
Yeah, because it's going to take you 20 minutes in there, and they're only taking a dozen people at a time, or 15, or it's interesting.
If it becomes popular and it's $200 a head, they're going to come up with a second bay, and they're going to expand that if that's the case. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. And Morgan, what'd you come up with?
Honestly, I try to keep it minimal because I don't want to get too much into Disneyland and compare it to when Walt Disney World's version opens. I want to kind of look at them as these are going to be two separate things, even though they're both Batuu. So honestly, I was more interested in what does the food look like? What do the drinks look like? Because that's what I'm going after when it opens at Walt Disney World.
Well, I tell you what, using that philosophy, I was going overboard watching Disneyland because I knew that Florida is going to be different. So I wasn't ruining it, quote unquote, for me when I get down to Orlando as much as I could be normally if it's going to be identical. But I agree about the food. And I tell you, the one live cast I was watching, the guy went into one of the restaurants and got some food, and he made the best observation. He's like, you know what? Each one of these items doesn't taste like the way it looks. It's definitely different in consistency and taste than what you're expecting based on how it looks. And I thought that was a great observation because you are on a different planet. That's how it should be. Hopefully, and it was, you know, it was still appetizing. He was able to eat everything. He said it was just really not expected the way that the jerky was cut. It just wasn't cut like normal jerky was, but it tasted incredible. And there was this other breakfast thing he had that was pretty cool. It was an oatmeal dessert. It was an oatmeal type of thing, but it was flavored with yogurt, and it was kind of set up differently. So it was a different consistency, but it was still good.
That's kind of how it was with Pandora when Pandora opened.
Right. The hamburgers and the buns and the boba beads and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Familiar, but yet different, right?
Yes. Right.
And I think that's what one of the food and beverage people was quoted as saying. We wanted things that looked familiar, but served in a different way, and of course tasted great. And it sounds like they did it, so I'm in. I'm trying.
Have you noticed how far we've come, though? Because it was originally Epcot was a place to go to get things you've never had before that were exotic and different. Now we're going out to outer space. Pandora, now Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, you got to go to a different planet. Wow.
It's a small world.
What were any quick reactions to the blue and green milk? I didn't see anybody's reaction after tasting it, and I really didn't.
I heard they tasted like basically like you drop Skittles in them.
Okay. Oh, so it was like fruit flavored.
Yes, that's what I heard.
Ooh, that's not good.
It's a coconut milk, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I could be wrong. That's what I thought. That's what's most intriguing. What's blue milk taste like?
Well, does coconut milk take heat better? Like, does it not?
I feel like coconut milk, that's going to be better for people. You've got people with allergies.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody it can cover more people as far as being able to try it.
Right, but you're still going to have somebody out there with coconut allergies. I mean, you can cover, you can try to do the best you can either way, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can't go with almond milk because then your nut allergies are right there, but I get it.
Sure.
I bet it has something to do with how fresh they can keep it.
You see, that'll be a great gray stuff type of thing. I mean, yeah, I'll try it, but, you know, or LeFou's brew. That'll be a one-time try it and probably never have it again. Although the brew I'll have again.
Because it is frozen, right? Is the milk served frozen?
No.
I don't think so.
It's not solid.
Okay.
I think it's just normal Amperu blue milk.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually, as we're talking, sitting on my phone, going through all the Instagram posts, you know, just searching the hashtag Galaxy's Edge just to keep everything fresh in my mind. And that's honestly, you know, I think it's part of because, you know, I manage our Instagram page. I'm looking at the Instagram reactions of everybody on Galaxy's Edge. And another thing that I am actually loving is people are posting pictures and there's not 50 million people around them.
It was pretty empty. I did notice that big time.
I
thought it was like
just
before opening or something because it was so empty.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of looks like, how did you get like a one-on-one tour of Galaxy's Edge? That's how some of these photos look.
You almost want to have them extend those reservations, but you know what? There's only so many people getting those reservations, so they can't do that. I mean, they got to let everybody in eventually.
Yeah, Morgan, you hit on a couple of big things there. Number one, we live in an Instagram world. And if any food that's being prepped, you can't take a picture of and share it, that's just advertisement that blows up.
Exactly.
Oh, that's true. So we should be getting better food now. You're right. Better presentation on your food. Perfect example.
That's what Instagram's all about.
Yeah. I mean, like, but the food and the merchandise.
The merchandise was incredible. Biggest thing I pulled out of that, you can't wear the costumes you buy there. You can't wear any Star Wars costumes.
Yeah, but you know one thing, like, I know everybody's talking about the $200 lightsaber and the costumes and everything like that, but honestly, the ones, I kind of like the build own droid. You know, I may or may not be doing that.
Droid, yeah. I'll be doing that.
You're going to build both. We know that, Sam. Yeah, yeah.
Does the droid do anything? Is it a robot or is it just...
Yeah, it's a robot that lights up, a remote control. I'll tell you, I can tell you exactly what it reminded me of. It reminded me of years ago in Myrtle Beach when my kids built remote control cars, and they had a little station with a screwdriver, and they screwed it all together, and that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
I forget what they called it.
Track cars?
Yes. They'd build them, and I forget what it's called. It was like a Build-A-Bear workshop, but for boys, and the little pieces of remote control cars, that's what this is. Little pieces of a remote control droid that you put together, and then you turn it on, and you give it a personality chip, and it...
Well, it's like it's the original... Cool. It's the original droid building on steroids is what it is. I mean, they took that to the max.
They did,
And the lightsaber building. I guess they totally maxized both of those things. Yeah. I didn't even think of it in that regard.
In my days as a cast member, like, I got stationed in World of Once Upon a Toy at Disney Springs. So I helped kids all day long build lightsabers. And that was actually my favorite thing to do. Like,
that's cool.
I don't want to build Potato Head. I didn't want to build, you know, I didn't want to help them with the Barbies. No, I wanted to help the kids build lightsabers. So want to see the experience, but I have to admit, the $200 price mark on a lightsaber, scares me just a little bit.
Yeah, and you know what? Some of the you saw the Salacious Crumb little puppet that sits on your shoulder. Did you guys see that?
Yes, I did. It's like the guy from Pandora, the little dragon.
It's exactly what it is.
Yep. It's the creature shop. Yeah,
I didn't see the price on that thing.
But I guarantee you, it's just going to be like the Banshees. They're going to be $60-$70 at least.
Like the Banshees, right. And you could get a Porg, and you could get other things. And I'm like, yeah, okay, this makes sense.
Well,
it's a pet shop.
They had one store that was just the animals and stuff like that from Star Wars.
Yes.
And that's where they were all at. It was really, really cool. Now, in one of the books, the Han Solo trilogy, there is a place he goes to buy a little pet and play a dirty trick on a guy he owed money to. And it almost sounded the exact same way. They're explaining all the different species and the animals, the smells and stuff like that. Yeah, just can't wait. Okay, guys. Now, I got to play the bad guy and we got to move on.
All right.
We're going to be definitely talking Galaxy's Edge as we continue on. Keep checking out the blog. Check out the live show. You're definitely going to see a lot of different Galaxy's Edge information. And I tell you, once Lisa gets there, we're going to be doing live views from there, and we're going to be talking all about it also. Okay, so we're going to move on now. So what we want to do is help you guys really stay cool and enjoy a summertime trip. Because why would you want to go to Disney World or Disneyland in the summertime? It's when all the crowds are there. It's hot. It's expensive at certain points because we have this different pricing plan for different times of the year. So why would you want to go in the summer, and how are you going to keep cool once you're there? So we're going to help you out with that. Unfortunately, I've been kind of doing summer trips for the last 10 years as my career turned into the education field. So I've been experiencing the summer trips more and more often, and I don't see as much as I thought wrong with them as I used to. You guys have definitely gone either way, right?
Yeah, I usually go every summer. I go for my birthday, because, you know, what better place to celebrate for your birthday at Disney World? And my birthday is middle of summer. So it's a different planning. It's a whole different ballgame when you go in the summer as opposed to fall time or, you know, February, you know. But that's what we're here for, is to help you guys figure out the best way to do it.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Now, when we go to the parks in the summertime, what you do is you basically get the advantage of time. And when I mean that, it's basically think about wintertime versus summertime and sunlight. Walt Disney World follows a set time limit in the winter times, where their parks are closing sometimes 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night. Summertime, they're open usually 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, just normal times, let alone extra magic hours. So a summertime trip definitely lets you have more time in the parks, which gives you more time to get out of the parks and take advantage of the pools and the cooling down parts of your hotels. So my biggest always bit of advice to people going in the summertime is definitely use that schedule. Get to the parks early, get those rides that you want to get on while it's cool, head back to the hotel around 1 or 2 o'clock, and then chill out, come back to the park around 5, 6 when it's starting to get dusky and cooler again, and then you're still set for another 5 hours of park time.
Exactly. And I mean, I even tell people, you might be paying more for staying on property in the summer sometimes, but because you get those extra magic hours, especially when they are early in the morning, late at night, that is the main perk of those extra magic hours. It kind of pays for itself. I never like getting up early. I'm not going to even lie about that. I don't like getting up early, especially when I'm on vacation. I take advantage of the extra magic hours at night, and I'm in the Magic Kingdom till 1, 2, sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning, because you can do that in the summer.
Yeah, when Magic Kingdom closes at midnight and it's 2 hours of extra magic until 2 in the morning, I mean, you can get as much done after fireworks as you could first thing in the morning.
Sure,
exactly.
That's what people talk about, right? Get there really early, get their rope drop and knock it down, and absolutely do that if that's what you're all about, and get your fast passes and try to get the fourth one, fifth one. But then there's the other end of that spectrum where you can come in the evening, have dinner, watch fireworks, and then go and hit the attractions when everybody's leaving. And having that flexibility, maybe it's maybe you can do both with a nap in between and some pool time. Those are some of the best days I've ever had down there for sure.
Oh, no doubt. And you usually plan your trips around those, and that you're going to be there till 2 a.m. Well, guess what? My first fast pass the next day is 11 o'clock at whatever park.
That's exactly right.
I'm not forcing myself to get up early to make those rope drops, especially after a night like that, because you have a couple of days to plan for. You don't want to start falling down after the first or second day.
I think that's key. It is vacation after all, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And I tell you what, that whole falling down thing brings me to one of the most important things, hydration. Now, it's kind of weird to say that because that seems like one of the most normal things to think about. Well, it's hot, you're going to drink water. No, no, no. When you're at Walt Disney World, you actually have to sometimes force yourself to do things because you're doing so many other things that are so fun that you kind of forget what you're doing, like drinking water, eating food. With the family, it's always easier because I usually have one or two people telling me things they want to do at one point. Dad, we haven't drank water all day. Can we have a drink or something like that? But when I'm by myself, sometimes I almost have to force myself at one point of the day to actually stop. Hydration is the biggest concern, though. Make sure that you have a plan for that where you have waters, whether or not you bring the bottles in, which I totally recommend you getting them shipped to your room. Right now, Amazon Prime is the best way to take advantage of things like that if you're at Disney properties where you can have them shipped to your hotel for coinciding when you arrive. Water in the parks is $3.50 a bottle now, I think, or something like that. A case of water is about $6. So the math is totally there. What's cool about bringing a bottle into the park with you, too, is that you can get free water at all the counter services, free water that's filtered through the soda machine so it doesn't have that weird Florida taste to it. And then I'll usually put that back into the bottle I have from before. That way I can seal the bottle, put it in my pocket when I go on a ride.
I am actually a huge advocate of bringing the bottle water. I bring a refillable bottle. You guys have seen me because I have it with every vacation I have. I have one of those Tervis water bottles. And when you get that cup of water after you've emptied your cup, sometimes there's ice in it. So, I mean, it's just makes it even better.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Absolutely. Water. And if you have a refrigerator anywhere, freeze them.
Yes.
Which is easier with a full-size refrigerator than not, and I understand that. But if you can, do it.
Right. Yeah, definitely. It works out. Now, don't forget, though, if you do freeze the water, bring yourself like a grocery bag with you or something like that because they will sweat if they have them in your bags. Just because I've had that issue before where you reach in and like the paper's all wet because the water bottle sweated on them and stuff like that.
That's why I even like the book bags that have the pockets on the outside for the water, because it keeps the water when it's sweating outside of whatever you have in your bag. But yeah, that's definitely a good tip.
Oh yeah.
And with the no ice into the park rule that came out recently, having one frozen bottle in with three or four non-frozen bottles is like having ice in there, by the way.
That's genius. That's perfect. I didn't even think of that. Which actually moves on to our topic next as far as just keeping cool itself. Basically, keeping cool at the parks in Disney World is just a matter of planning and knowing what to do. My first tip to everybody is to remind them that everywhere you go in Walt Disney World, there are stores. Everywhere you go, there are stores.
Everywhere.
And every store is air-conditioned. So at the very least, you can just step into a store and cool down. Especially if it's been like a long little like kind of jog to get to where you are and do things like that. Sometimes you do get a little overheated. Just take a break. You don't have to buy anything. You just have to stand there and enjoy it.
Yeah, there's this, and I want to say Dinoland and Animal Kingdom, there's a sign that I love about the store having air conditioning. And it's got the dinosaur on it. And I took a photo like years ago, and it's still one of my favorite signs in Disney parks, is this little dinosaur raving about AC being in one of the gift shops.
Well, that was the big advertisement in the day when AC was fresh, when it was new.
Sure. Yep.
Well, I mean, I would also say another good tip besides just soaking in the AC, I always carry around, doesn't matter if it's June, July, August, or December, I have a portable handheld fan. And I actually have two because Jimmy sometimes steals mine. So I've actually had to carry around two. But I mean, it's basically, it's not even as big as my cell phone as far as the height of it. So it fits nicely in my pocket, or I can just throw it back in my book bag. And I will kill that battery if I have to sometimes.
Oh, sure. They've got so many different devices out there now. It's pretty incredible. You could get not a full size, but you can get an air conditioner, a hand sized, I guess, air conditioner, where it literally is cooling the air and then pumping it out at you.
Yeah. There's even, I bought it, I don't take it into the parks because it doesn't work for me and just how I am, but it's a Mickey fan that I bought in the parks once that you wear around your neck. It's perfect, I would think, for kids, and the air actually blows up to your face.
Oh, I always wondered about the angle on those things now. Now that makes total sense.
I get it.
I got one in the, I got to go check that one out now.
Yeah.
See, now you're going to pack yours because now you know why it's like that.
Oh, no, we're still going to pack it. But that's a cool idea. They're really nice.
Yeah. The kids have to have their little squirt bottle things. Some of them recycled from previous Disney trips. Some of them from Walmart for a fraction of the price of the Disney ones.
Yep.
But to Morgan's point, make sure you take the lanyard so they can wear it around their neck, because you don't want to have to carry that thing. They can wear it. They're going to squirt themselves constantly. And by the way, I find that my kids like to drink the water. So it's usually bottled water that goes in there, not spigot water. But
right. Now, one tip we did when we did have the stroller age kids, we had clips on those type of fans. So yeah, they just clipped right onto the stroller.
And they still sell those in the parks, too. But obviously, if you plan ahead, you know, you're going to save a little bit of money if you get those outside the parks before you get there.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Now, I tell you what, something else I was thinking about as far as accessories go, like the fans and things like that, a little bit more manual, but very new technology in the last 5-10 years, I guess, technology, are those little gel pack things you can get. And they come in a lot of different varieties, like bandanas or neck straps and things like that. And the idea is you soak them in water, and then because of the way they, I guess, start drying up and the way they start, I forget the science behind it, but it keeps your neck cool, or it keeps whatever it's on cool.
Yeah, the cooling towels.
Yeah, exactly. And I wish I could come up with the science. I feel like I'm really missing something simple here, but it's been a long day. and we'll put a note in the we'll put a link in the notes or something like that. But there, I want to tell you though, I've tried a couple different versions of them. They first had the rubbery like sheets that are about maybe 12 inches by 12 inches or a little bigger than that. They're okay, but they're a little weird and they're a little like rubbery and stuff like that and hard to deal with. I found last year like kind of strips themselves that are probably only about 4 inches high, and then they kind of wrap around your neck. So they kind of just lay on top of that like there once they're working, and that worked really well. And that was Walmart, Target, something like that purchase.
Yeah, actually, I have one of those as well. If you go on Amazon, there's a plethora of them, every shape, size, color, you name it, you can find it in that style on Amazon. And one tip that I have about those cooling towels is once you get it wet, not dripping wet, especially if you are wearing like a baseball hat or something, take off your hat, put it on your head, put your hat back on. It's awesome.
Yeah. It works.
Okay. I'll have to try that. That's a good one. I like that. Okay, so what other kind of clothes do you guys wear? Is there any specific summertime clothes? I mean, obviously, I don't bring jeans to the parks in the summertime. I don't even pack jeans. I don't go to, like, many sit-down restaurants to begin with, so I never usually bring long pants.
I'm a huge fan of the athletic gear. You know, the moisture-wicking clothes that help get the gross sweat off of you and tries to help you feel cooler.
Yeah, I have one or two shirts like that. Not using dark shirts, that's a big thing too, because that is definitely noticeable. You're in the sun a lot line-wise sometimes, and it definitely gets hot. You start cooking with a darker shirt on. Always bring a hat. I'm not big on sunglasses because I got to take them off, put them on all the time as I'm walking around the parks. So I'm not a big sunglasses fan, but a hat works perfectly. So definitely a hat keeps the sun off your face, and I don't use suntan lotion in the parks at all. And it's just the way my family is skin wise. We don't burn that easy. And as far as faces go with the hat, that's not an issue at all then.
I got the lotion all the time, a spray bottle someplace, and my wife is always putting it on the kids, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. Every family has they know their needs.
Yep.
Yeah. I do not burn easily, but I don't want the farmer's tan, so for that simple vanity part of myself, I have at least a 15, which I'm sure somebody's going to email and say, how dare you just wear 15? That's just me. But I do have at least some kind of suntan lotion. I even, you know, being a female and wearing makeup and liking to wear the makeup, I even buy the makeup that is designed for you to work out in, and I wear that to the parks because.
Interesting.
Hey,
didn't even think of that. So
I like having. I gotta have my makeup on. I'm just.
It won't drip away in the heat. That makes a lot of sense. I didn't think of that either.
I didn't know that was a thing. See that?
Yep. And ladies, if you want to email me, you know, I'll tell you what makeup I'm wearing. That can be a whole other thing.
That actually sounds like a show down the road. Definitely a more of a women's attire type of makeup type thing.
Ladies or gentlemen, let me not discriminate. Cause,
yeah, good point.
A little autumn every once in a while works for me.
Yeah.
we'll get you some nice blush. You'll be good, you know?
Very cool. Basically for me, t-shirts, and again, sometimes it's like the sports shirts, but not often. Definitely really good pair of socks because you're going to be doing a lot of sweating. Usually I have two pairs of shoes because now here's the other thing. In the summer in Florida, you will get wet. It's not usually a matter of if, it's just a matter of when, which usually is about 2 to 4 in the afternoon. What do you guys say?
I say, yeah, like about 3 o'clock, right in time for the parade.
Yeah. But anyway, so plan on being wet. Now, again, that's going to be your preference. Hopefully by this point you've decided that ponchos are for you or maybe a more substantial jacket for the wet, for a rain, or nothing at all. I personally bring an umbrella. There are so many times, literally in the past 10 years, we have looked at it in the point that if I do not have an umbrella with me, it will rain. If I have the umbrella, it's a better chance it's not going to rain. And it's been proven time and time again. The other side of that coin is I bring the big umbrella, big golf umbrella, which if I'm flying, I'll carry with me on the plane and put in the overhead. I don't care. The big umbrella is the way to go, especially in those teeming storms down there. We have the little umbrellas, the totes that expand, and they're good for one person. When it's really raining, it does nothing really for you. Excuse me, especially
not
if you
when
have
it's really raining in Florida.
Yeah,
no.
Especially if you have a backpack and you have other things going on. But the umbrella, the golf umbrella is cool. You could always put another person under there with you too if need be. But by yourself, those golf umbrellas are awesome. And the other trick is too, they're at Home Depot for $5. The black and white stripe ones there. So if you're driving to Florida, I'm sure they got Home Depots around there or Walmarts, and you can get them for $5. Five Below also has really good sized golf umbrellas for $5. So it's the type of thing where you can almost even bring it and forget it if once the trip's done. But definitely an umbrella or some type of rain device. And like I said, two pairs of shoes because you're definitely going to get a pair of shoes wet. And the newspaper trick definitely works. Pair of wet shoes, stuff newspaper into them overnight. More than likely, they will be dry in the morning. Have done that many times.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually am a big fan of the two pairs of sneakers, not just for the rain, but just for taking it easy on your feet. You know, if you wear, sometimes you wear the same shoes for like 3 days, 4 days plus, you know, your feet get tired quicker. So not just for the rain, having two pairs of shoes, I think, is a good thing. And then I drive to Florida all the time. I haven't driven or flown to Florida in like 3 years. So I have one of those big golf umbrellas in my car at all times because it got thrown in there for a Disney trip and I just never took it out.
Right thing to do.
But also I've lived in Florida. I am been go every summer. So I've gotten used to the rain. I know it's going to be over in 5 minutes. As long as my camera is protected from the rain, I just enjoy the fact that everybody else is running to a store and I just keep a walking.
Well, again, that's everybody's preference. Totally. I don't mind the rain as much because it's warm. There gets to a point, though, when it becomes monsoonish, that, you definitely have to find shelter down there. But yeah, for the most part, if I'm already wet, well, that's a done deal. You know, let's just keep on trudging along. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if I can't look up because it's raining so hard, yes, that's when I'll take cover. You know,
don't want to drown. Like,
you know, when it becomes a safety issue, I will take cover. But just a normal rainstorm that's only going to last 5 minutes, I'm just going to cool off a little bit and keep a walking.
Right. And actually, that brings up a good point, too. And I mentioned this in the past on one of our tech shows. If you have an app that has the weather app on it, or you can get to like one of those weather stations or local news, you can see the radar. So when it starts raining, you can tell where the storm's coming from, where it's going, and how long it expects to be raining. And then you can kind of judge what you're going to do based on that. That'll help you decide if it's going to be a 5-minute downpour or if it's going to be an afternoon event. And then, you know, you plan accordingly from there.
And that's exactly what I do.
Yeah, definitely. That's been a total thing. It's also kind of cool to know that, you know, lightning struck 0.0 miles from your location in the parking lot at Animal Kingdom one time. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's not good.
But I survived.
So many times, Ed, you see a storm coming, you decide to go into an attraction of some sort, you come back out, the storm's gone, everything's all wet, and it's sunny again.
Oh, yeah.
And you miss the whole thing.
And how bad is it the opposite way? Coming out of the Michael Jackson attraction to a total downpour when it was sunny when you went in, and there's only enough awning to hold 20 people, and there's like 200 people trying to decide what to do.
Could you back in? So that happened to me at American Adventure, and we just snuck back in and watched another show.
Yeah.
Well, see, and this is when Ellen's energy used to get packed.
Yes.
Sure. Now, this kind of ties into what we're going to talk about finally as far as some summer tips is prepare to have things to keep your family occupied. Now, I'm not saying that your family's going to have a problem or that there's going to be issues, but it's summertime, it's hot, and the crowds might be a little bit bigger than normal. So if we're online, bring things for the kids to do. Get the apps on the phone if you're doing that. We were big trivia fans before the apps became a big thing, and we would literally take in trivia questions, Trivial Pursuit cards, and just talk online. Since then, we have apps that do the same thing. Just definitely be prepared. And Disney has the gaming app now. They totally took advantage of that as far as keeping people occupied. Get acquainted to that before you get in the parks. You do have to get a little bit of know-how before you start using it.
Disney's Play app definitely is something that you should do even when you're not in the parks. But I also see people play Heads Up in the queues. That's a nice little app that you can download on your phone. There's a bunch of different free subjects that you can play with your party while you're waiting for your ride.
Oh, no doubt. And I tell you what, I wouldn't recommend this at Six Flags. I love Six Flags. It's a great park. But online at Disney World, more than likely you're going to make some friends, especially if it's a long line. And doing these type of trivia games or types of heads-up games, things like that, it definitely gets the crowd kind of like into it too. And everybody has a better time, and the time goes faster when you're happy.
Yes.
Time goes faster when you're happy. You're right.
Definitely.
Disney Next baseball hat.
It is. Yeah, I love it. One of the things that my youngster always did is he always had and still has his hidden Mickey book with him. Sure. And that would come out in whatever land we were in, whatever queue we were in. And the first thing he'd do is, all right, let's find the Mickeys. And that's always a fun thing to do.
Have we found hidden Mickeys in Pandora or Toy Story Land?
Toy Story Land, I'm pretty sure he showed me some. Pandora, I don't recall.
Okay, well, I just want to make sure they're still doing it because Galaxy's Edge will just be the next step.
Yeah, maybe.
That's a great idea. I'm glad to see that somebody's still doing those hidden Mickeys. I always subconsciously look for them. Definitely something to keep track of. Nice.
Now, Sam, does he just do the books, or is there an app now?
Well, I was wondering that when I started to mention it, right? Because an app would be really good, but he's got the little pocketbook.
I wonder if Steve actually
gets put in my backpack. Yeah, his old books, yeah.
And that's the nice thing about those hidden Mickey books is they're not big books. They don't add anything to your book bag, you know, when you're packing for the day. They don't add anything to it. But that's what I was just thinking. Like, if there was an app, that's one less thing to pack. You know, you just whip out the phone. Okay.
Someone's got to be working on it.
They have them in the parks, if not though, already. Too. And this is kind of on the side, and this is not you should do often, but they do have them in the parks. So if you thought you saw a hidden Mickey, you could always check out one of the bookstores there, or one of the stores that have the books. Just double check it or pick up one. Okay, guys. So that is it for the show tonight. We've talked about some of the things to help hopefully keep you cooler and give yourself a better trip during the summer times at Walt Disney World. Those tips pretty much apply to Disneyland, I think. So I'll probably cut this whole part
out. But when
out.
It rains, there's no place to go in Disneyland.
Oh, that is true. That is true. Everything is outside. Yeah, very true. Okay, guys, so what do you think? Did we miss any of the tips that keep you cool or help you get on lines faster or help you have a better time in the summer times? Let us know. Send us an email. Drop us a line. Jimmy, tell them how to get in touch with us.
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram at The Disney Nerds Podcast and Twitter at The Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 292 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Thanks a lot for being around with us and listening in. We are going to be talking Galaxy's Edge in the next show or two. We're going to be talking all the new things coming to Hollywood Studios. We're going to be talking all the new news. Stay tuned. For Sam, for Morgan, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Have a magical night, Hakuna Matata.
Kogaloosh!